Hey everyone, this is Scott, and my co-host is Joshua Marsh, and we want to say thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it here with us. Our goal is to provide you with insight about our lives, how we navigate it, and how our faith is that compass. We want to encourage you to pray more often, more consistently, and in all things. Talking with God is about just that, the conversation that you have with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is not complicated. We make it complicated. There's no special sauce to getting prayer right. So let's shed that stigma that talking with God is complicated. God, our Father, is there to listen to us in all seasons. Whether you are in a happy mood, or maybe you are facing some struggles and are angry at the world, or even God Himself, He is still there. So join us each week on Thursdays as we talk about our lives and how that relates to talking with God.
Thanks for joining us here again on Talking with God. We just want to say thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it here with us. We are walking through Experiencing God. It's a book by Henry Blackaby. It's over 20 years old, and we're doing chapter 1 and 2 tonight, and it's just been really amazing. It's definitely thought-provoking and shows you how God reveals Himself through experiences and not just by reading the Bible. Wouldn't you agree, Josh?
Absolutely. And it's something that has kind of opened my eyes to the fact that I've had a lot of knowledge and a lot of content knowledge over the years and throughout my walk, but I never stepped back to be like, what does this mean? What does this mean for my relationship with God? What does this have to do with my experience? And it's really caused me to dig a little deeper, or a lot deeper actually, into my own experience with God. And so I'm excited about this journey, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You know, in the beginning of chapter 1, I think we both kind of highlighted that one of the very first things that he said. He was discussing this trip to Washington, D.C., where this driver is, he's driving along fine. Next thing you know, he kind of drives erratically, right? He starts swerving into another lane, and then this 18-wheeler's like honking its horn, and he drifts back, and he seemed like he was okay, and then it happened again, and come to find out, the dude was having a stroke.
Crazy.
And he's like still trying to drive, but he just, it's like, don't work until your funeral's lunchtime or whatever that says.
I like that.
The lunch on the day of your funeral.
And that reminds me real quick of a quick story. My father, we were at a conference. It was a conference for Perry Stone. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Perry Stone. He's still out there doing some different things. And but we were all in this van, and my dad got in the lane to turn left when our hotel was on the right. And we looked at him like, why are you in the left lane? He's like, I don't know. I just feel like I need to get in the left lane. And then right next to us, someone rear-ended a drunk driver under the influence, rear-ended the guy right next to us. Crazy story, but it was just along the same lines of that. And I remember that vividly as a kid, like my dad didn't go the right way. Our hotel was the other direction, but he got in the other lane because he felt that he was supposed to. And that's what he did. And I wouldn't be here today if he didn't. So it was pretty crazy.
That is crazy. And the thing that, Henry Blackaby said was, I had known that God was my protector since I was a little boy. And he cites Psalm 41:2 and 121:7. He said, yet on that day, I experienced his divine safeguarding, because there is a world of difference between knowing something to be true in your head and experiencing the reality in your life. And that got me thinking, and he even talks about this. So Jesus talked about knowing God in an experiential sense and not just doctrinal. As a Hebrew, in his time, to know something was that you experienced it. It wasn't just something that you read a book on and you're like, oh, I'm this expert. When Jesus is speaking about knowing God, he's not discussing that. He's not discussing legalism like the Pharisees, who, they claim Mosaic authority over the interpretation of Jewish law, and then they used it to suppress people. Or the Sadducees, who, they were like the highfalutin type. They operated under these priestly privileges, and because they were more fluent in legalistic matters, when really they're just vultures. But Jesus, he tells us, every time that he talks about God, it's about this personal, loving, and dynamic relationship with God. as a way to experience him. It's not just, you know, this is what Moses said in the Bible, and this is how he proved it with Israel, yada, yada, yada. He showed them actual experiences through healing and things like that.
Well, and I feel like this kind of breaks down the walls of our traditional religious system that is like, you need to have these memory verses, you need to have, you know, which there's nothing wrong with, you know, learning more about scripture and digging in deeper and understanding different characteristics of God as revealed in scripture. But we have, it seems, forgotten or kind of walked away or spaced away from this idea of what does it mean to really have a dynamic relationship with God? What does it mean to go beyond just, you know, where what we know in our head and move to the heart of it? And it's a hard conversation, but something we need to have.
I think Abraham's a good example of that dynamic relationship. Abraham, he understood his relationship with God. And the Bible even says God Almighty. And when you think of the word Almighty, you think of just this supreme being with power that you don't know the depths of it. But God's trial of Abraham's faith was to reveal to Abraham a piece of God's character. And you noted this, and I thought it was really worth talking about, but Jehovah Jireh is the name Abraham gave to the place where God, who's this all-powerful being, he's provided for his servant in a way that the servant never expected. Because I 100% believe that had God not stopped him, Abraham would have killed his son.
Mm.
But instead, he shows how good and loving and kind he is. I mean, he's full of grace, despite all that power that he holds. And I think that it was really important that Abraham experienced God's character in that manner to fully understand that God will always provide if your faith is in him. Now, it may not be exactly how you think it should be, but he has a plan for that. And Abraham did that in faith. He was like, yeah, I'll go and I'll kill Isaac, but God provided.
Well, and the term Jehovah, my brother was a Hebrew. He studied Hebrew. I wouldn't want to say a Hebrew scholar, but he studied Hebrew. And he, when you look in the Bible, like there's actually the term Jehovah doesn't appear in and of itself as the term Jehovah, but it's actually a combination of ways of describing God. So it's a combination of the terms Adonai and Yahweh. And Yahweh is the I am part. And then Adonai is that father. So it's like, I am your father. I am, as you mentioned before, God Almighty, I am the person in your life who is that fatherly figure. And I thought that was really cool to understand like what the term Jehovah means and how, you know, we represent it in our understanding of being everything that we need, being our father, giving us what we need. And in scripture, there's a moment where, you know, Moses says, I want to know who you are. Like, who are you? If somebody asks me who you are, who do I describe to you are? And a lot of people, or I don't know, I didn't know this for a long time, but there was in Exodus 34, 6 through 7, God actually describes who he is. And he lays it out for Moses. And he says, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 years, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the consequences of the father's iniquity on the children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And there's a great book on God having, you know, God describing who he is and God's name and the name Yahweh, and that we can have that personal relationship. And this is kind of an extension of the, you know, if you want to read in another area of this kind of digging into God's name. I read a book recently by John Mark Comer, and it's just fantastic. It's called God Has a Name, but talking about the name Yahweh and God describing who he is. And the whole book is just about that Exodus 34, 6 through 7, which I just read, and breaking that down, even like it's just a discussion about that verse and breaking down each component of that verse how do we understand the characteristics of God as he told us who he is. So.
That is awesome. And we'll definitely have a link of that book. It's called God Has a Name. It's by John Mark Comer. So we'll put a link down there. If you're interested, you can pick that book up. Here's a interesting little factoid. I'm full of those things. Drives my wife nuts.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. But
the word Yahweh is also called the Tetragrammaton, which is really cool to me. I think Transformers, but...
That's great.
Yeah, I'm a man child a lot of
times. We all are.
You know, one of the things that I think is really important is that we consider that in every instance where God is given a name, like, you know, man uses another name to define what they see in God, those names, they're tied to an experience that God has revealed a part of his character. So it's just awesome how it dovetails into that name in only a way that he could possibly have designed. God reveals his nature in a way, in a new way, and it's always for a purpose. You know, we're created for a loving relationship with him. And in our encounters with God, every single one of those is God saying to you, I love you. That's just awesome.
And it may not be the encounter. Sometimes we don't look at it at the moment and think to ourselves, oh, that God didn't love me. Like he wouldn't have had me do this thing. But then in reflection, we're like, oh, he was bringing me somewhere. He was taking me to a new place. He was taking me through this experience to a better place through loving me in this way. So yeah, that's really cool.
It is. And you're absolutely right. When we are in the thick of it, it's really hard to see that end. But he knows all those things. Like he's got that knowledge for eternity, you know? And he actually talks about that in chapter 2, and we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of every chapter, there's some questions. And so the first question is, what are some characteristics of God that you have come to know by experience? And for me, that's definitely Savior and Comforter.
Yeah. And I think when I was looking at that, it was this idea of being timely and always present, even when you don't feel it, or that you're in a moment where you're not, oh God, I don't feel you in this moment. I don't know where you are. I'm hurting, but he's still there. He's still taking care of you.
And other ones that I had highlighted was like, he's my refuge. Comforter and refuge kind of go hand in hand. Mm. He's also my greatest advisor. Like anything, everybody knows the whole pray without ceasing, but it's true. Like, go to him.
Yeah. And that idea of comforter is, I've kind of been really comforted by just scripture in general. Like sometimes, you know, we can read scripture and, you know, think, you know, we have to read something that is motivating, or read the Psalms only because, you know, we want to, you know, get that encouragement or talk about just things that make us feel good. But I've just been reading scripture just to read different parts and, you know, just being comforted by seeing Jesus throughout the Bible has just really helped me just in my daily coming and going, just to reflect on like, oh, I see you here. I see you in this part. I see you here. I see you, you know, in the Old and the New Testaments. And it's been really cool just to be comforted by the stories and how God provided for people. So that term provider too, of how God provided for people, you know, throughout history and brought them to where he was wanting them to go.
And the next question was, which name of God currently seems most significant in your life, and why is that? And two are really significant for me. First is Wonderful Counselor. You know, there's several things that are going on in our family, how our family dynamic is readjusting. My marriage is fine. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like that. There's some other things that externally are affecting us. And so going to him and reading and trying to find the best path forward and putting that trust in him has been really a huge focus probably the last 2 or 3 weeks. And then on top of that, he's such a good teacher. And especially for like doing the podcast and stuff like that, it'd be kind of silly to just get a whole bunch of canned Christian cliches and be that guy, the walking Christian cliche. I want to learn. And then the only way to do that is to spend time with him, to talk with him, to read the Bible, and then go and read stuff for the giants of Christianity that have spent years, centuries, and are still relevant. And learning from their experiences.
When I think about how, this was a hard question, like how do I see God and what name is most significant to me right now? And I don't want to go into too much detail about this one, but it's like Righteous Judge. You know, I've had a lot of experiences where in the last 5 to 10 years where, you know, things happened and I was like, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why the people who were in my life did the things that they did and why they continued. And I kind of feel like I jump into the mind of David sometimes where I'm like, why do, you know, these people prosper for, you know, after doing the things they've done and come, you know, to look at things like the things that have happened since then were things I wouldn't wish on those people. And I'm like, oh, you know, I didn't want that, Lord. I didn't want that, you know? So it's like, God is righteous and he's a righteous judge. And, you know, that's a hard thing. I think it's a hard principle to think about, but he's a righteous judge for others and for us too. But that was something that I feel like that's been really significant for me is like, God, I just need to let this go. I need to, you know, you're righteous. You've got this under control. I don't need to worry about it. You know, whether something happens to those individuals or not, you know, I don't want to see anything bad happen to anyone, but it's like, I need to remember that I don't need to seek vengeance. I don't need to seek retribution, that you are a righteous judge. And then the other one for me is the idea of Prince of Peace. And one of my favorite verses, and I've got it written on my wall, so I had to get away from the mic for a minute, but is peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And so I love this idea of Prince of Peace. And my wife and I have been taking 24 hours of just spending time just to be at peace, to not stress. Of course, with kids, there are always times it's going to be stressful anyway. But we've been trying to just tone things down, you know, just get into a place of quiet and peace. And when we get into a time with God in that time, that's true peace. And that's times we can settle and just be like, God, just come speak to us, reveal things to us during this time, because you give us peace that goes beyond understanding in this world.
That is awesome and great. Names of God is you know, how it's being phrased there. And it's just awesome. I love seeing the differences in the dynamics. It shows you that, you know, we don't all walk the same path. We're all in different parts of, you know, our lives, and how God is catering to what we really need just shows that he really is such a great provider. The last question he asked is, what is one aspect of God's nature you would like to experience more fully in the coming days? And our peace was hands down. I've got our guide too, but our peace is hands down that one. You know, those external circumstances or external forces, they put a lot of pressure. And sometimes when you have that type of stuff going around, it affects the people that you're trying to protect the most. And you're the one that causes that pain, you know? Mm-hmm. You have to be conscious of that.
Yeah, absolutely. When I had, our guide, I feel like I'm constantly looking and being like, God, where is it what is it you're wanting me to do? What is it that you're leading me to do? And I don't remember exactly whether it was in which chapter it was in, but and I don't want to spoil anything down the road here, but like when he started talking about, when the author started talking about the idea that we don't need to ask God, where am I going? It's, we just need to say, bring me into what you're doing. You know, you've got this great story. Just, I want to tag along, you know, and that's something I completely shifted my understanding. And good teacher, I think constantly I'm kind of like, God, I want to understand more. I want to dig in deeper here, and I need you to reveal these things. And so that's something I've wanting to kind of understand more about in the coming days.
And yeah, I just want to take a moment to tell people that are listening, like, we're kind of giving an overview of the chapter. We're not covering everything because there's other stuff in there about like God's perfect provision, where, you know, he's serving as a church pastor for this church in Canada, and they reach out to a missions pastor and the dude moves on faith and God delivers pretty much almost the exact amount to cover his moving costs. And, you know, another church donated money towards his salary and things like that. So we're really just telling you some of the things that we picked up that are relevant for us. But yes, if you want to take the time and to experience God in a new way, in a way where he is shown as this loving father who always, always wants the best for you, get the book. Mm-hmm. It really will change how you look at your experiences, not only just daily life, but things that you absolutely know are being delivered from God.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stories and things here that we're probably not going to have time to go into as much, but like that timely factor in his provision, I mean, it's been true time and time again. And I can tell you, I don't know, multiple stories about God's timeliness and his character, but in the interest of time, I know there's a lot more we want to cover. So understand, you know, we want to give you our perceptions and highlights from the book, but I know there's a lot more detail. I'm sure I could probably go into one or two sentences from what he did and just dive into those even more, but we want to keep going. So
we're going to migrate into chapter two, and chapter two starts off with some gut-wrenching type of stuff. He talks about his daughter who was 16, who was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. The doctor had missed a spot in a chest x-ray, and then the next time they went back, she was just like eaten up. And so one of the things that he talks about there is that they never once questioned God's work. They never once questioned his love, because God can see eternally. You know, he sees the eternal ramifications for small actions. And for us, it's the butterfly effect. That's kind of like how our capacity to understand it is, right? A butterfly on the other side of the world flaps its wings, and a tornado or a typhoon or whatever happens on the other side of the world because of the flapping of the wings. But one of the things that he highlights is that experiencing God is trusting him. And I believe that trust and his love are not exclusive in your relationship. You can't trust God and not love him. He gets all of that, and his will is always the best.
Well, and I think there is a verse where they're coming to David and he's lost his child, and they're like, why are you not mourning? Like, and David's like, look, I'm going to see my child after this world is gone. I mourned during the time when they were here, but they're no longer here. And that kind of opened up a lot of doors for me. I think understanding, like, trusting God in times of great despair. It's like, look, this doesn't change how much God loves me. It's may go beyond my understanding of why he has allowed this thing to happen for my good or the good of the kingdom. And again, it kind of goes back to that. This is not about my story. This is about going into the story that God is telling, and like, somehow he's going to use the situation in his greater story. And that butterfly effect, as you were saying, it's like, this is just another component in spreading his kingdom throughout the world. And, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, you never would have, like, there's a lot of people who aren't in this world anymore. And we have a lot of their resources and things because they're not here anymore. And the word of the gospel is spread so much more after they've gone than when they were actually here. So we can't see the capacity that God has for a lot of these things. We just have to trust that he is good. And that's hard, but that's where, you know, stepping out in faith is a big thing. So
it is that his will is always the best is one of the things that I think a lot of people just struggle with in general, because God has been so good to us that he created us and said, you have free will to think and do things and, you know, to grow and have experiences, knowing that there's going to be a lot of times where we're going to turn and bite our thumb at him or poke him in the eye because we think that what we're supposed to be doing is the better path. I still to this day do it. Like, I love God and I trust God. If he told me that, you know, I needed to hike 5 miles down the road because, you know, I was going to find some man that was homeless or, you know, whatever it may be. Like, if he like literally spoke to me, I'd do it. And I think that that's one of the things that we struggle is that supplication versus free will.
Well, and two, I had this question, like, well, what if you don't know? Like, what if you don't know where, you know, what is it that God is asking you to do? And I feel like that was a question for me reading this. It's like, what if I don't know? Like, how do I step out in faith? And, you know, you look at Moses and he was constantly being like, God, are you sure? Like, and even there's an odd story in Numbers where Balaam is told not to attack the Israelites because they're God's chosen people and he's blessed them. And he's like, but he still keeps going back. And, you know, I think there's like 4 different times he makes an offering to God to be like, are you sure? Like, and it's a whole lot of work from what it looks like in scripture to do that process. So, you know, there's this constant like reassurance of like, or checking like, God, is this what you want me to do? And I can't remember if it was in chapter 2 here, but it was like confirmation sometimes with scripture and people in that are believers, and prayer is a big thing for us when we're unsure about where God's leading us to go. You know, what is the next step? And then I think, and my wife brought this point up when we were talking about this chapter, we can sometimes just step out into what God has told us to do, which is love God and love others. You know, that basic principle. If you're doing those things, God's going to be working and God will direct you in those things. So if you're ever in doubt, okay, well, step out into the things that you know are the things that he has told us in scripture to do. And then maybe other things will become even more clear. But if you're unsure, well, step out in that first. And are you loving God? Are you loving others? And then, you know, other doors will probably open up after that. So
just think of while you're talking about Moses, Gideon is another great example. God tells him what he needs to do, and instead he questions God's authority there. Now he doesn't do it vulgarly. He he's like, if the dew is on the grass but not on the wool, then, you know, and then he flips it, and of course God's like, okay, we'll play this little game, and, you know,
right.
But, you know, one of the things that Blackaby says is your confidence in the love nature of God's crucial. He always has viewed his circumstances against the backdrop of the cross, where God clearly demonstrated once and for all his deep love for me. And after I read that, I just kind of sat there and was like, I know this. Like, I know this. I know that there's been this sacrifice, pays for everything. And we fight it.
Yes.
All the time.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think too, I love how you reference that. If we understand that basic principle, everything else, if we're driving and pressing forward to dig deeper, if we understand that basic principle of the love of Jesus on the cross, like, okay, we may have some misunderstanding, you know, we may need to dig deeper into these other components and facets and theology and doctrine and things like that, and our relationship, of course. But if you understand that, like, that's 90%, like, or 99%, I guess. It's like, okay, well, I can see, I know that Jesus did this act for me, and I believe that. And then everything else starts to, you know, then the other puzzle pieces start coming to play. So I want to encourage anyone, if you're like, well, I haven't heard God's voice, I don't know if he's like, I've never heard him ask me to go anywhere and do something audibly. It's like, well, that's okay. Like, if you understand the basic belief that Jesus died for you and he loves you, okay, that's step one. And then start going from there. And then, you know, that's the basics. And now let's keep going.
There's another thing that he said at the very end of that paragraph that kind of made me think about what we talked about last week, where, you know, he had talked about, you know, this book is for someone who knows God, like, is saved. He says, and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forever convinced me that he loves me. I choose to base my trust in God on what I know, his love for me. And I choose to trust that in time, he will help me understand the confusing circumstances I may be experiencing.
That's great.
It is. It's fantastic, because if you have actually said, you know what, God, you're real. The stuff that Jesus did, it paid for my sins. I get it. And that's all I need. I believe it. 100% believe it. Like you said, we're 99% there. The rest is just, you know, following what he says.
Right. And that comes with that obedience part. You know, it's like, okay, now it's like, okay, how do I obey? What do I do now that I know this? How do I obey? How do I listen and obey?
Yeah. And that's the next part of the chapter he talked about is trust him. And he points out something. It's like, I'm afraid to surrender my life to the Lord because he might send me to Africa as a missionary or something like that. And like, you know, God has told us our life's not going to be full of rainbows and cupcakes and unicorns. That's not how it works. But he's
that's actually what I had today. Rainbows, cupcakes, and unicorns. I don't know about you.
sometimes you just got to have a cupcake, man.
Actually, I think you had the last cupcake. No, that was a cupcake. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, he had a cookie the other day and you posted online. I'm like, man, that looks good. Now I'm thinking about it. Anyway, sorry. I digress.
It's good. Snickerdoodles and coffee ice cream.
Oh man, that's legit.
No, it's hilarious. It's true. Oh, man. Yeah. At the end of the day, your fear of that is a gross misunderstanding of what love is for God, because God even though he is not going to completely shield you from things that happen in this world, you will get hurt. There will be things that will wreck you in ways that you don't imagine. He's not going to put you in a position where you're going to be doing his work and not be equipped to complete those tasks. That is why he is the great provider.
Mm.
He's not going to send you to Africa where, you know, you're not going to like be emotionally or mentally capable of accomplishing his will. And I think that that's really important, because there are people that love that, though, that love going on mission trips, and they love the simplicity that they get from those trips too. They love their adopted countries, is what he said.
Well, and something that really hit me about that portion is like, God also isn't going to necessarily call you to somewhere that is your strength. And I was like, oh man, like, like I've always felt that if I'm good at something that God's like, oh, that's what you're supposed to do, man. That really hit me hard, because I was like, just because you play music doesn't mean God's calling you to be a music minister. Just because you write well doesn't mean God's calling you to write books. It's like God's going to give you the ability to do the things that he needs you to do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be within your line of comfort. And that's hard. I mean, that's really hard. It's a hard thing to process. It's like God's going to give you the people and surround you with those individuals, or put you in the place that's going to help you to do the things that he needs you to do. And it's not going to be, it may be something that you already can do. It may not be, but that was hard for me when I first read that. I was like, oh man, that's what I always thought. And I guess it's not true. So
I think he said it best, and I don't want to paraphrase it, because otherwise I'll jack it up. What he said is that he would not call you to be a missionary in Africa unless he knew such a call was best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the Goldilocks factor, because, you know, it's not going to be like this daunting task that crushes you, but it's also not going to be this thing that's like so easy that you feel like you're walking on water. Because when you get into that arena, on one side, you've got despair. On the other side, you've got pride. And neither one of those are things that we need to be done. He puts us right in the middle where we can accomplish our tasks humbly, full of humility. And that gives us a chance to just reflect and be like, you know, exactly what he was doing. And I was dumb to think otherwise.
And I think that's where that step comes in. It's like, if I understand the trust factor, if I understand that God's going to give me the capacity to do the things that I need to do, it's like, okay, so do I love God? And this is the part where he said, like, the Bible's crystal clear at this, that if you love God, you're going to obey God. If you do not obey God, then you don't really love God, regardless of what you may claim. And that hit me hard too, because I'm like, oh man, if God's calling me to do something and I don't do it, do I really love God? Like, do I really trust this? Like, if I have this trust factor and I believe this, then obeying is the logical next step. But it's hard, but it's not in the capacity that, like, well, if we understand A, we understand if A equals B and B equals C, then we can, you know, logically figure out that A equals C, and we can trust and we can obey and step out in obedience and love.
When you get to that understanding of the depth of God's love for you, you get this unshakable foundation of trust.
Mm.
For me, he gave us this great story. It's subtitled Avoiding Landmines, but he basically says, suppose you're in this war-torn country and you had to cross a field full of landmines. There's a local soldier who knows exactly where the mines are. Let's say he offers you to take you through the field. Are you going to say, I don't want you to tell me what to do, I'm going to make my own free choices, and then just go trapezing across the mines? Like, no. No. That's why we follow him, because he is the lamp that lights the path. And he's going to tell us, don't go that way, because that path is going to kill you. But if you go this way, the path that I'm lighting, you're going to live. And he doesn't mean just live this life that we're in now, because this is ephemeral.
Mm.
We're temporary residents. This isn't the goal. He's talking about go this way and live eternally with me. And that's just, I get it. I see what you did there. Kind of circling back to our desire for free will, God's commands are not to wield power over us. He absolutely could. He could marionette us and make us do whatever. but it's not that. It's to guide us and to protect us and to help us grow. And if we follow those commands, we find his blessings. That following those commands gets you to the treasure. And one of the things that he had talked about there is in marriage, the Lord says, I have a gift for you, a beautiful, wonderful expression of what love is. And it's marriage. And that relationship with that person is going to bring the best out in you. It'll give you an opportunity to experience some of the deepest and most meaningful dimensions of human love that he's designed. And then he cautions you, don't commit adultery.
Right. And I like the part where he says, is that commandment to limit our happiness? No, it is to protect you so you can experience love at its human best. Like the trust and this structure that he put in here to help us to understand his relationship with us is really cool. And I love that.
I love how he does that. Like he talks about these things and then he ties them up in this neat little bow at the end. And every time it's like, I'm going to think about that for about 5 minutes before I move on. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, one time. It happens a lot. But, you know, if we're obedient to God's direction, at the end of the day, what we're going to find is that his love is deep. And one thing we already know is that he's full of grace. Mm. That's what the cross was. It was an expression of God's love and the grace that he wants to give us. If somebody comes to you and says, here's my heart, I'm giving everything so that we can have a relationship. How do you say no to that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hard. That'd be a hard thing to say no to.
Because you have nothing and here's everything. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the chapter, which is where we're at, we're going to go through the questions. And I'm going to let you answer first this round. It says, describe the experience that most permanently settled your belief in God's love for you. What questions did you ask during that experience?
Well, the first one, and I was thinking like, man, let me go back through like the history of my relationship with God and like from when I was saved to now. And I was like, when was it like settled? And I was like, so many different moments in my life where I'm like, God, I could see your love. I could see your kindness. And the moment for me was when I was going to college in Virginia Beach. I was not a great high schooler. I wasn't doing a great job in high school. I got involved with kids that were not necessarily individuals that I needed to surround myself with. And I knew that I needed a change of scenery. And my brother and I, he was going to go to college at Regent University. And I was going to go to college with him. Problem was, as we were stepping out in this faith to do this thing, there was nowhere for us to say, like, we were both young guys. I was 16. He was, I don't know how old he was at the time, but we didn't have any credit. We had nothing. Like we couldn't rent anything. We had no way to get like an apartment. So we just kind of stepped out and we went up there with our parents and I remember being like, you know, I feel God calling me to be here. I don't feel that, you know, I need to be where I was. I need to be in this area. And I said, God's going to provide. I know that God's going to provide a place for us. So we were getting ready to turn around and come back because there was nothing. Like we couldn't find a single thing. And as we were turning around to come back, the phone rang for someone who just a chance call that someone had called us and they were like, hey, I've got a house for you and a room that you could rent out to where you can, go to school here. And I was like, we were turning around to come back. And I was like, I just don't think this is right. I think something's going to happen. And then it happened. And I was like, I knew that, you know, that God loved me. I knew God's love through, you know, the belief in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice to me. But like right there in that moment, it's like, I knew that I felt led to be here. I knew you were going to, just as he was saying the story about the pastor who moved without any promise of a pay or anything, that he trusted God to step out. You know, I trusted God that, you know, I don't know how we're going to find a place here, but this is going to work. And the space came and everything worked out right when it needed to. We didn't need it 2 days before. We needed that moment. We were turning around and getting ready to come back. And it just, that was one moment. And I know there's reassurances all constantly and throughout my life. But that was one for me that I felt I could share. So
So yeah, that was a really great experience, and I appreciate you sharing that. You know, for me, it was determining whether or not I could have children. Bethany's got two children from a previous marriage, so like, you know, we had been trying and all that good stuff, and we knew that she could have kids. There's only one other part of the equation that's unproven. And, you know, I go to the urologist and stuff like that. And the whole time that, like, we're doing all this, because, like, there are certain things that you have to not do in order to do the things for them to test. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, like, am I being punished? Because when I was younger, I was at church. I was that Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening kid and stuff like that. And I was like, is this payback? The experience does eventually settle my belief in God's love for me. But I think that comes later on in the questions. You know, just because some of them, you know, like the next one, it says, did God provide answers for your questions? How or why not?
Well, I think that, you know, yes, for me in that situation, but I feel like I don't want people to get a misconception. I think on my end that God provided for me in this, so that meant God loved me, because I've seen a lot of instances, especially recently, where my father-in-law passed away. He was, you know, way younger than he, you know, should have been to no longer be with us. And it's like, God, how do you love me for now? Like, how do you love me through this? I'm looking for answers here. And it's like, you know, sometimes it's that great comforter. It's like, God still has a name in this. He still has an experience name here that you can look in scripture and be like, here's how God is still loving me through this. So I want to make sure people understand from my perspective, like, you know, just because God showed up in this space in the way that I felt that they were called to be in a space that worked out, that meant God loved me. Even if it hadn't worked out, I still feel like I could look and be like, you know what, God still loved me, even though it wasn't the way that I had anticipated. So yes, I think God provided answers for me, and you know, trusting that I felt called to be in an area, and that's where things ended up working out. But there are many examples where, you know, Christy and I, we were pregnant, and then like the very next day we weren't anymore, and we had called all, you know, all of our family from friends and all that and said, hey, you know, we're having a baby. And then you know, we weren't the next day. It was the strangest thing. Like, we had a positive test and all of a sudden went to the doctor and they're like, yeah, you're actually not pregnant, which is impossible. Like, the only way for that to happen is to be pregnant and then have a miscarriage. And it was so early on, and we were just really young. And so we thought, you know, 6 weeks, we can call everybody and tell everybody we're pregnant. We just didn't know. So that for me though, God still loved us through that. And, you know, now we have four kids and they're running everywhere. But it's like, God still loved me through that situation. He was doing something that I just, you know, and it helped me turn to him too through that process. You know, to have an even deeper relationship than I had before that. So
for me, yes, God did provide answers to my questions, and it was in the, not the way I expected way. So the long and short of it is that, like, yes, I can have kids, but I make dead swimmers. So like, there's this whole expensive process to harvest and blah, 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 blah. When I heard that, it was super upset, ugly cry in the car type of thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, after I got over that crying, I just sat there and I was like, you know, life isn't so bad because I already have two children.
Mm.
God provided for me. And I didn't even know that I needed that provision. Me dating Bethany with her having kids and stuff was not a foreign thing, because I am a child from a broken marriage. I had a guy step in at 2 years of age that I called dad, and he's still there. I was very lucky. And so kids from a previous marriage were not that big of a deal to me, in the sense of like, some stepdads are like, oh, I got to deal with these little ones. that was never the mindset that I ever adopted. And so I did get answers and I did get what I wanted. It just wasn't in the way that I expected.
And I think that's a true characteristic that I've seen too, is that he always, you know, he always shows up. He's always there. It's just, it may not have been in the way that I anticipated. It was, and it's better. Like, there's always a, you know, there's always light in the darkness. I just didn't know the way that light was going to come in. And that's the cool thing, is that he's still present. He's still working. It's just sometimes either it's in a way that we didn't see, or it's something that we can't even see or understand yet, but that doesn't make it any more true.
So did you ever doubt God's love during your experience?
I didn't really have a long answer for this one. I was kind of like, I didn't. I was like, I really trusted that God loved me and that like God was going to show up here. And in a lot of different areas, and you know, I've been in spaces where it's like God didn't show up for a long time in a certain experience. And I was like, God, why are you having me do this? I don't understand. And in those instances, I have like a lot of scripture that I keep, like that I go back to. It's like, you know what? We just need to just be still. Like if I could talk to anybody about that, it would be like, look, if you're starting to doubt God's love for you, go back to scripture, go back and be like, oh, look, here's your love for these people, even though they didn't see it. And oftentimes he's just like, look, I'm working. Just calm down. Just be still. Let me do what I'm doing. I have you here for a reason. And it's, you know, it's like Joseph, you know, God had to work things out. There was a time, you know, where he had to take Joseph into that next place, but it couldn't happen for a while, but he couldn't get from where he was to where he was going right away. It took time. And if Joseph had doubted God's love, and which I'm sure there were moments in there where he was like, what are you doing? But it still ended up, you know, it worked out because God is, and he fulfills his promises consistently. So yeah, I didn't have a doubt in that, but it's not to say that there wasn't any frustrations, but I knew like by looking back at scripture, like God, I just need to calm down and know you're working things out.
Yep. And same was for me. I never doubted God's love during the whole trying and testing and all that stuff, because my faith had matured to the point where, you know, there's no doubt. Instead, I'm just talking with God and saying, you know, I don't know what exactly is going on. And I don't know what forward looks like, but I know that you know, and that's all I need. It's all I need. So how can you be sure God loves you today?
Well, I think for this is just stepping out and being confident that he did this thing for you on the cross. And if that's what he's willing to do for you, how much more is he going to see through this situation for you? So stepping out in belief is a big thing, I think, to, you know, show that like, I'm going to step out. I'm going to be sure of God's love today by stepping out in belief in this area that he's going to, you know, he's going to take care of the situation, even though I don't know how. So I think by stepping out in belief, it shows us that assurance that God loves us because we trust that he's going to take care of whatever it is that we're dealing with.
And for me, that assurance comes from the wholehearted belief that he doesn't change. We are the people who change. We are the factor in that equation that tries to do different things. Because he loved me. He showed me he loved me when I was at one of the lowest points in my life. Like, I felt emasculated initially, like I was less of a man. But he's like, no, you've got kids, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to love you forever. Not just your best parts, your broken parts, your hurt parts. I want all of that, because that is who you are, and I created you. And so I know you more intimately than your mother ever will.
And I think too, I love that you brought up that idea that he doesn't change. There is a moment in Numbers where one of the stories says that this guy comes up to another one. I think it's Balak is talking to Balaam, and he's like, hey, why don't you just go against what God says? He's, you know, we can kill the Israelites. And it's like, do you believe God's not going to do what he said he was going to do? Like, it's kind of like a, you know, check yourself kind of like, he's like, no, there's no way that we can be successful here, because God's going to do what he promised. And that's it. Like, that's the end and the beginning here. It's like, that's, if we trust God, like that's, he's going to show up, because he said he will. And it's just that cut and dry. So I like that. It's like, God's not going to change. He's never changed. Go look at scripture and see if you can see an instance of that. But I love that you brought that up, because it's so true, and it's throughout scripture.
So when God asks you to do something, what's your response?
Well, I wrote, here I am, Lord, send me. And that's easier said than done because I have four children and a spouse. So it's not just send me, it's send us. And I forgot, you know, I was like, I was thinking about that and I'm like, oh man, it's not just me anymore. And that's the hard thing. It's like, okay. And that's, I think that's why it's important to have, you know, have those conversations with your spouse, have those conversations with your kids. Like, look, we believe that God calls us places and we're going to step out in faith in this area. And sometimes that can look very differently than, or very different from what you'd anticipated. But I, you know, my wife and I were talking about this the other day. Like we've taken a lot of moves and we moved a lot, in my career. And my wife was like, you know what? Like God has, I didn't necessarily know whether it was the right move at the time. She's like, but God said, God asked me to step out and respond, like by obeying, you know, by stepping out and believing that God had, you know, that you were, you know, the husband here, and that's what we were going to do. And so I trusted God that he was going to make things work. And like, that was really cool for me to see that, and for her to respond that way too, when we were having this discussion. But yeah, in general, I think, when God asked me to do something, like, look, if you're asking me to go, I'm going to go. I don't know exactly go where or what, but if I feel led that that's what you've called me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And that's where I've gotten to today, by trusting God and obeying where he's called us to go.
I answered the same question a bit cavalier as well. And you know, I'll dovetail into the what hindered you, which is the next question. My explanation, because my initial response was Autobots roll out. Like, you know, let's go.
I love it. I love it.
But, you know, at the heart of the matter, I worry about the effects of everything on my family. And it gives me anxiety about those things. Like, yes, if God calls, I absolutely have to answer. Like, his calling is, it's a siren call. You can't say no to it. Jonah found it out the hard way, right? but yeah, I do have everything that I do, getting a little worldly here, but like, you know, I like watches and stuff like that. Even if it's like a $25 watch, I'm like, what could I use that towards the family? That type of thing. And
right.
You know, for the most part, that keeps me super humble because I don't just go out and make it rain. And, you know, that just, that doesn't happen in my life. So what hinders you?
Man, you hit the nail on the head with the anxiety piece, because, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, whatever decision I'm making or whatever we're doing as a family, that, you know, there's this constant, you know, keep your future in mind, you know, make sure you've got your retirement and your 401k and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, with this, in this world that's so future driven, we forget about the moment and where God is calling us to be and to do. And it's like, we're so future heavy that we forget about, you know, the day and the hour that we're in. And so that's, you know, every time I kind of, when I think about these things that's hindering me to step out in God's calling, I think I look at the fruit. You know, my wife, it's having us remember, it's funny. My wife is having us work through Galatians 5:22-26, which is all about the fruit of the Spirit. And I look at what I'm getting ready to step out into, and I'm like, is the fruit of the Spirit in this situation? Is it fear? Is it, you know, am I stepping out of anxiety and depression? Like, is that what's being, you know, the result of this thing? And if I'm feeling those things, then there's a problem. And it's like, I need to kind of break down what's going on. And you know, whenever I'm having a conversation with my spouse, and she's like, well, if I hear those buzzwords, you know, the fruit of things that are not of the Spirit, then I'm like, hey, I don't think this is where we need to go or what we need to do if that's the fruit that's going along with this. So, yeah, I think definitely trying to, you know, think less about the future, more about where we are in this moment, and just getting into the story that God has, and less about, God, where are you taking me, instead of saying, God, how can you use me right now?
So, did you lack trust in God's love, his wisdom, or his power in that experience?
Well, I don't feel like that there's ever been a moment where I'm like, God, you don't love me. You don't, how could you do this to me? How could you let me be here? I mean, there have been times where I was questioning like why he was doing what he was doing, because I couldn't see the other side of it, but I knew that he was still wise. He was still, you know, he still knew the plans that he had for me, even if I didn't understand them. But that's hard, because so often, and that's that kind of area of God's name that I really want to dig into more, is my guide, like guide me along the path here so I don't go my own direction. Because yes, I do trust your love. I trust your wisdom. I trust your power. But I also want to step out in areas that I may feel that this is aligned with you, but it may not be. So I'm like, okay, well, I do trust you in these areas, but I want to make sure that I'm going in the right direction. And I think as long as we keep things in mind, like, okay, how do I tie into your story in this moment? Instead of looking at my own future, how do I tie into your future and your kingdom? Then that helps a lot.
For me, yeah, there's no lack of trust in his love, knowing the things that I've learned and going through that experience. To me, it was clear that, you know, his wisdom was better than mine. I mean, like I said, he'd already provided. And so who am I to fight that type of sovereignty? So has God ever asked you to do something that just like didn't make sense to you?
Man, I love this question just because it's so along my personality that I'm like, you know what? I want to step out. I want to do these things because, you know, I'm a, what is it? Enneagram type 7, I think, as my wife says. And so I'm always wanting to step out, you know, and I'm always wanting to do things that go against the norm because it's exciting. There's a story, there's an adventure that goes along with these experiences. So I'm always like, hey, can, you know, if there's someone on the side of the road, like, I want to pull over it because, I mean, there's an experience there. I want to help them because there have been people who did that for me. But there have many times where God's like, hey, you know, I want you to do this or do that. And, you know, it didn't necessarily make sense. More recently, I was walking to go get a cup of coffee and like there were people across the street, didn't know me. And I didn't know them either. And they were like, I was like, hey, it looks like people might be moving. Do you want to help? You know, you need a hand? Like I can move some boxes if you need anything. And they were super awesome. They were like, yeah, let's talk about, and then we started talking about prison ministry. And we talked about just God and culture and all this crazy stuff. And it was like, it was super ministering to me and to them. Maybe to them, I don't know, but it was kind of, you know, it didn't make sense at the time, but I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to step out here and be like, I don't want to experience you in this situation. So yeah, stuff like that.
For me, it's plenty of times I've had some head scratches where I'm just like, can we talk about this like at all? Like, is there room here? Like starting this podcast, you know, I kind of do that with on a whim, you know. I was just sitting there one day and I'm just like, I don't know if my conversation is the same as other people when they're talking to God. And then I was like, I'm not really talking to God. I'm talking with God. Because that one little word in the middle makes the world of difference.
Absolutely.
And he's been so good to me, you know, in my obedience for this. Hopefully my obedience in this will be in all things for him. I can't promise that. I can't promise I'm not going to struggle with that. We all do. It's just been awesome. You know, you see people reacting, reaching out, asking us to pray for them, things like that. I love that, man. I love just being able to go to God and be like, you know, I've got this person who trusted me enough to talk to you about their hurt or to tell you about how happy they are that you bless them in some way. And I know you already know that they're grateful, but I just love the fact that they stepped out and shared that with not just me, but with 500 other people.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, and two, I think, you know, when you and I had a conversation about me coming on and being a part of this, I was like, I'm pretty sure I didn't question it at all. I was like, heck yeah, let's do this thing. I don't think there was a, well, let me sit and think about it. It was like, let's step out and do this thing. So yeah, I'm just thankful to be a part, man. And just an opportunity to minister to people about, you know, experiencing God more and coming to God more in prayer. Yeah. And I know I need that in my own life too. So it just helps me to dig deeper.
Yeah. One of the things that we kind of talked about, and this is just, you know, for the future, for people to listen, we're actually going to have somebody that's walked through the Experiencing God book who is a huge fan of it. He's turned me onto it, and we're going to get him as a guest on the show. I haven't asked him yet, but I have 100% confidence that God's going to be like, you need to just go talk to these people and let them know. you know, so our last question is, if you ever ask God to do so, you know, if God's ever asked you to do something that didn't make sense to you, what did you learn about God and yourself through that experience?
Yeah. I think, you know, realizing that God loves me through the good and the bad, no matter what the situation, he's still present. His love is still consistent and his promises are still consistent.
mean, for me, it's like I'm living it right now with you and with anyone who listens to this. Probably the biggest stepping out that I've ever done. You know, and he's rewarded me. You know, so I can't be any more grateful. But if you have listened, what we've covered is chapter one, which is knowing God by experience, and chapter two, God works according to his nature. Our next episode, we're going to be covering doing God's will and being God's servant. But if you are interested in the book that we mentioned, it's called God Has a Name by John Mark Comer. It will be in the link in the description below. We just hope that you come back. We hope that you enjoy experiencing God with us. And next week, we're going to start talking about financial stewardship as a Christian and what it means to be that steward while you're under God's sovereignty. Josh, will you pray for us?
Absolutely. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for your promises, for your consistency, for your truth in Scripture revealed to us on a daily basis. We want to thank you that we can trust in your love and we can step out in that trust by looking at the cross and knowing that this was the greatest act of love in the history of mankind, and knowing that we can obey because we know you love us, and we know that when we step out and obey your commands for our lives, that you will be consistent there too. Just as you were consistent in Scripture, you will be consistent in our lives. We just want to pray for everyone who's listening, who has shared their prayer request on social media. We just ask that you would show your love to these people and reveal yourself as you do constantly and consistently, day in and day out. And we are thankful for the time that we've had to talk about these things and to experience you. We just pray that you would help us to experience you more on a daily basis. And we pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, man.
Thank you again for taking time out of your day to spend with us. Can I ask a small favor? Okay, well, maybe it's a couple, but they are really important. First, can you subscribe to us? Second, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, can you give us a rating and let us know how we're doing? That helps our podcast get discovered. And if I'm honest, it makes us feel good too. Even if it's just a 1 star out of 5, it's crucial feedback so that we can improve. One last thing, can you share this with your family or friends? We're on all major podcast platforms, and even if it's just 2 people, maybe your whole Facebook or Twitter, whatever you're comfortable with, we're happy to have that. It would mean the world to us, because every little bit helps us get discovered and allows us to share God's message to the world. We hope that by sharing this prayer with you, that you are encouraged to pray more often and more comfortably. And most importantly, your relationship with God grows in talking with Him. If you'd like to share a prayer, check out the link below and contact us. We love you and hope that you visit us again next week.